Blog Talk Radio.
Hello! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I am delighted to be here. I so missed you guys last week. It's all divine. I was having quite an emotional roller coaster. It's all good. I'm sure, you know, I'm happy to talk about it on today's show if it comes up. And, I mean, as you guys know, my life is pretty much an open book. I enjoy sharing. I enjoy sharing everything because I believe it is in our sharing that we come together, you know, in group consciousness, in support of each other. You know, it's not just about, you know, sending out love. It's also about the ability to receive love. And in that sharing, God bless you, my audience and my Facebook fans and participants. You guys truly, truly share tremendous love with me, and I'm grateful. So we have a great show, and I have an amazing guest, and we're going to get to all of that. But first, let's get Goldie to calm down. Calm down, Goldie. All right, and we're going to do that the same way we've been doing it for the last few weeks, which is we're going to invite in our essence to join us in our body. So let's take some nice deep breaths. And as you're breathing in, silently or aloud, just invite your essence into your physical being. I mean, for me, I can feel immediately a sense of expansion and relaxation. My shoulders tend to kind of let go of their tension. I immediately get a tingling in my hands. And it's almost like when you do this invitation enough, it's almost like when I walk into a room and I flip on the light, there's electricity going through the wall, but until I flip the light switch on, it doesn't illuminate the bulb. So I really believe that the synchronicity in my life right now is profound. So I know my essence is physically in this dimension with me. But when I do this on the air, or even when I'm driving my car or with my girls or whatever I'm doing, there's this confirmation of the energy running in my being. It's a physical confirmation as well as an emotional confirmation of presence. And what's amazing is it's my presence. I mean, for me, my presence amazes me. And that's why I invite you all. It's your presence that you're bringing into your physical awareness, into this physical dimension. And presence in this dimension, it just changes the colors of the canvas. It takes dull and makes dull sparkly and glittery and have, here's even better, it gives it depth. My presence in my life makes it so, I don't look at change in my life from a fearful point of view. Change in my life when presence is part of my experience, it's like this grand adventure and this amazing challenge of something yet to be mastered. Because there's nothing I can't master with my presence. And it's because I want to master it. You know, like the new car that I've been asked to drive. You know, most people would be in total joy going from a Toyota Echo to an Acura. And I get that. personally, I'm very comfortable in my car when I have my girls with me, because for me, the car and me, I've bonded with my car. My car is not just, quote unquote, a vehicle. My car is an extension of my energy. So until the Acura becomes an extension of my energy as well, it's a car, and I'm a little nervous driving, you know, a $25,000, $30,000 car that's not mine. and it's not that I won't master this, because I've already started speaking to the car. I was doing energy work today, and, you know, it will happen like everything else that I intend. That's truly what mastery is, in my personal belief. It's we intend it, and then we follow through on the actions that spontaneously come up for us to do. So, again, this wisdom comes, in my personal belief, on the wind, so to speak, of inviting your essence into your physical being. You do not have to be you do not have to be in this consciousness, in this dimension, alone anymore. Invite your essence in. It's just incredible. So thank you very much. I appreciate I can always feel that the audience is doing this, because there is a definite sense of, you know, when two or more gather in my name, or not my name, but the name or name, there is an intensity. I can feel it. I'm very, very blessed to feel that. And I love you guys. So thank you for that. So we have an amazing show tonight. I'm so excited. We have friends from far places and friends who have imaginations that truly, truly have the ability to soar with the eagles and fly with the butterflies. My beautiful guest tonight is Janine Kimmel. She wrote the story, The Magic Gown, and I so recommend this book for anybody that needs to fly again, to dream the dream within of our child, our inner child, and yet come from the space of, you know, the maturing adult. It's such an amazing book. I had such a good time reading it. And the best part is you can share it with your kids. And it's such a great book. Welcome to the show, Janine. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Goldie. Hi. Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. I loved your book so much. I sent it to a friend who I tried to get it so she could be on the cruise with it, but she came off the cruise and she's now reading it. But I mean, nonetheless, I love that you write the story using characters that I've always felt kind of are real, and yet. Most adults, if you talk to them, you know, who haven't gone through the awakening, you know, they put them to the side of the bookshelf of, you know, oh, that's just fantasy. Now let's get down to what's important.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
missing that piece. Yeah.
Or for me, it never left. So I feel fortunate that way. But you're right. I mean, the child sees these characters as a part of their lives and companions, and talks to them and gives them messages and makes them feel more comfortable. And and that was an important message I wanted to give, that when in need, there are little messengers and companions, and they give you gifts, and all is well. That's usually what all these characters are. You know, with the exception of the characters that cause some trouble, but every good fairy tale or good adventure needs those characters. But they usually end up in a place of transformation, which is ultimately what I believe in. And so through story, that's what I try to show, is transformation for all the characters. And, you know, some stay a little stuck, but they can always come back in another story and have a second chance. So,
well, indeed, because the story never ends, truly.
That's right. It. Right.
Mean, that's
right.
Kind of the beauty of all of this.
That's
it,
right.
It never ends. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, thanks.
Oh, my God. Thank you. No, it's my pleasure, because I know I have a book in me, and it's funny. I have a feeling it's a children's story just mm-hmm. because of the rapport I have with children.
Mm-hmm.
So having you, you know, as a guest, as a friend, as a mentor, you know, as an energetic mm-hmm. inspiration, all of this is there's just so much support right now.
Yeah.
From the people that are genuinely in my life. And I've never felt so supported as I feel literally right now. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, and what was beautiful was those wilderness paintings that I posted,
yeah.
and I said that there was a story to be told, and you amazingly said, oh, and that's right, because I want to tell it. There is a story to be told, and I have a story to tell, and that whole beautiful, colorful wilderness series that I've done is for my sequel to The Magic Gown. And,
nice.
Yeah, so there, you know, all that is just complete inspiration for storytelling. And that's when the imagination just goes off and you let it go and you follow it. And we definitely, both of you and I are inspired by nature. And I think every great fairy tale, if you ever notice, always involves, you know, oceans and woods and mountains and cross.
Exactly. It's almost
yeah.
like the unseen characters is nature.
Right. The predominant character is nature. That's
exactly.
true. That's
exactly.
true. In all great stories, like Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha, yeah, there's always this nature element, which is so true. So, or
yeah.
great poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, well, it's almost like what you were saying prior to us coming on the show. You know, I was saying to Janine how excited I am to have someone come on, because our goal or our plan, and it's loose, was to talk about nature and our connection to nature. And, you know, I love the way, you beautifully brought up, you know, well, it's the great mystery.
Yeah. It is, because if you were trying to explain what is it about nature that moves you, I mean, yes, beauty, awe, but,
yeah.
you know, if you really tried to explain it, you would say, it's, in some ways, I can explain some of it, but other parts of it are unexplainable, and I like it like that, you know, because you feel this presence and this support, and you're almost like being witnessed or something, but you
yeah.
just can't fully explain it, and that's just fine with me, because I think that the unexplainable is really fun and great, and leaves so much to the imagination, and it's more about sensing, and I like sensing. You know, I don't like to have
yeah.
to explain everything. In fact, talk about the unexplainable. I remember that I was doing a little book club with these girls, and one of them said, you know, I said, well, you know, not everything in the book is explained. You know, some of it's left. And she goes, oh, that's true, because you don't always have to explain everything. It's better that way. And I thought, wow, how'd she, you know, she was like 10 years old. And she was right. You know, it's better to leave some things unexplained.
Well, and, you know, one of the great storytellers, no, of course, I'm going to go blank as soon as I'm ready to say it. Alfred
yeah.
Hitchcock.
Oh, right.
Now, and he does different stories than you, but I've seen in his movies,
yeah.
what's great is he never shows the victim getting hurt. He shows the shadow
of
the victims.
You're right.
You know,
he leaves so much to the imagination. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it is better.
Much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think forget better. Let's even get out of that. It was more artistic.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to the ability to show, you know, blood gushing out of somebody's head. You know, like, there's not much imagination to that. Okay. It's
yeah.
like the mystery is, like we were saying, the predominant character of life, not just of stories, but of life.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I'm learning this as I go along. Clearly, I am learning this as I go along.
Yeah, remember I quoted you. It's written on my wall where I sit and write sometimes. I move around, but I told you this last week and you loved it, where Dante wrote, "Beauty awakens the soul to act."
Yeah.
And I just think that that's so true, that it's just nature's inspirational, supportive, healing, a teacher, a friend, and you know what, so many times I'll recommend to someone, just go out there and you don't do anything. You don't need to do anything. Just be in nature. And
yeah.
It's interesting to notice, and this is just another, you know, I can't explain it, but I'll notice resistance with people. And I'm not really sure what that is, but I notice it. So I'm like, I wonder what that's about. You know, is there, I don't know. I don't really know, but I found it to be so healing. And I actually started this kind of therapy called Move to Change, and it takes place in nature. And I literally say, you know, you can go with an issue, you can go just to be, and you'll inevitably, something will shift for you. And I don't know why, but it just does. And even given that, a lot of people don't go out there, and I'm just like, why? It's so easy, you know. But there must be something there that's like, you know, just in the shadows, or maybe not ready to. I don't know. It's just interesting
right. That
I've made that observation.
I have made that observation as well, and you know, I think it's obvious to the people who realize how easy it is to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and I'm, the reason why I hesitate is because it's the word think. Mm-hmm. Thinking, from my experience, cannot heal.
Right.
I cannot, like when I was in the woods 2 days ago, when I was in the wood Monday, I was contemplating my prince that, you know, everybody on Facebook knows, you know, I met a prince and we were, you know, falling in love, and this is actually a gentleman from my past, and to make a long story short, his father took very gravely ill over the weekend, and I was in a space where I was waiting, and I personally don't do waiting well, because waiting to me is clearly, I mean, even once I got clear on it, is I'm out of presence. I'm not in the present moment if I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the future wanting it to catch up with where I want to be. And I know that to be significantly out of my power. And I'll tell you, at this point, my whole body responds as stomach aches and sore throats, headaches. I just can't do out of present without paying the price.
Mm.
And the more clear I become, which is definitely the woods became clear to me, because I went to the woods in this state because I very much want this relationship, but what the woods just told me in its essence was A, divine timing. When the divine time is here, there will be no extravagant situations like his father taking deathly ill or my car breaking down on the way to go see him, whatever. It, you know, in other words, divine timing, it will just happen so fluidly and effortlessly. Trust that.
Yeah.
So, and it, literally, that was the message that I got. And in that message I got, for me, it's best for me to pull out of, quote-unquote, we were, you know, titling ourselves boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, I can't do girlfriend and not be a part of this gentleman's experience. Now, but we're not at a space where, you know, he can bring me in. I haven't met his kids. I've never met his dad. So this is not really, you know, it's not my time. It's not my time to be by his side and go through this with him. So, you know, I called him up or I texted him. I don't know. He wasn't really available because he was at the hospital. I think I texted him and said, you know, I love you, but you need your space to do what you got to do, and I need to pull back and take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the kind of answers the forest gives me.
Yeah, I've noticed that for myself too, where it does really help you process and learn,
yeah.
And
yeah.
learn waiting and get better at it, because I too know that's a difficult place, but I have also matured that way where there's a, it just does it for me. It just has a way of teaching you more about timing and waiting and allowing and just when the time is right.
Yeah, because the minute I made the phone call, my stomach stopped. It stopped hurting immediately. And what I understood is if I try to be or create a space that's not being created in nature naturally, that's when there's control. That's when I am struggling just to get up one step, so to speak. I can't even take a step without 2 million pounds on my back. I mean, because I can clearly feel it. And when you spend time in nature, you really understand the path of least resistance.
Well, you just said it.
I'm so glad somebody's calling me.
You just said it. You said naturally.
Yes.
And that is the key. It's when you live life naturally, you are allowing things. You're not trying, you know, you're not discontent with the certain, oh, it's not working out. There's just a naturalness.
Exactly. Because, you know, my relationship right now is the woods. That is my significant other.
Yeah.
It literally is, because it heals me. It takes care of me. I mean, because one of the things I also got from this experience is that, you know, I tend to want to process in my head from the past. So I was like, okay, if you want things to be different, then, okay, now let's change up what you're doing in the woods. So I'm thinking maybe that'll, it's going to, if I change where I'm meditating, it's almost like changing the neurological pathway in my brain of how to process that me and the prince aren't going to do this right now.
Yeah, that's definitely, I believe in new locations, shifting, you know, different paths. Don't always take the same one. Follow something. Yeah, I think
different.
That's really key. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and wait till you see the pictures on face. I mean, I have now, I'm by the water, which I know is emotions. I'm on these rock cliffs that are just, they're exquisite. I mean, it's like so funny because I got, you know, the woods to the left. And another good thing, too, is right now there's a lot of hunters in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the men in orange, not the men in black, men in orange. Which makes me laugh because that's all second chakra. I'm like, listen, you guys, you just, you know, if you would just get some balance in your life, you wouldn't have to carry big rifles to feel better. But anyway, so it's best for now anyways until it snows, because I have a feeling they won't be so happy-go-lucky once it's actually trucking through, you know, a couple of feet of snow.
Yeah.
But so I'm at the water. I mean, it's like I'm in a whole new wonderland with all new energies around me.
Mm.
But none of the love is not there. You know, that unconditional love and that medicinal nurturing is just so clearly there. And yet, you know, I'm processing, like you said, everything differently, and there is such a confidence that everything's okay right now. See, I'm immediately not waiting. Right now, when I'm in my woods or on my reservoir, there's such a passionate knowing. And that was the feeling I got the other day that when I posted, I was like, I know all is well. Because in my cells, I can... And I clearly knew what that didn't feel like, because all weekend long, I should have did this. I should have texted him on Friday and said, you know, hey, listen, take care of what you got to take care of. I'm going to back off. You know, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. I mean, you know, and it's so funny when I don't know to do that, words as simple as that just eluded me. I mean, it was like, you know, I was in this total spin that I got the clarity. Pardon?
Yes. No, it's a discomfort, too. I mean, it doesn't feel good at all.
Oh, my God.
But sometimes we have to go there in order to, you know, sort of go, okay, release it, and then, there's the shift. But the experience of nature and what it gives me also has allowed me to change that as well, whereas I'm not as attached to an outcome. I'm not as attached to... something needing to be the way I think it's supposed to be. And I have to say that my time in nature has helped me with that. And I don't know why. It is unexplainable, but it works. So that's what.
But it works, and it's not just me and you. It's everybody that puts themselves in nature. That's the beauty. You get the gift by putting yourself in. In fact, do you mind if I bring a caller on? Because she's got her hand up. I know who she is, and I know she's
going
to totally support this conversation. Area code 973, you're on the air.
Well, that's me?
That's you, Susan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a great conversation. I certainly get a lot of joy out of being in my yard, and I'm incredibly blessed that I live in kind of a hole in the woods, and I have the very divine option of walking on a path that I cleared to a brook where I sit every morning, and that's where I do my meditation. There's nothing like it. I'm so blessed.
So, and do you feel the same healing, you know, where you can't describe it, it just heals?
Well, yeah, but there's also a lot of specific things happening, you know. I find, and like the world of possibilities is opening up into what, you know, what really is around us. And, you know, I don't even know how long ago it was, but there was a time where I wouldn't have thought that I could actually affect the water by walking up next to it and saying, I so love you. I appreciate this water so much. Every morning I go out and I see that there's more ice frozen on the rocks, and I just love the new formations it takes and all that sort of thing. And it's just so fabulous to really know in my heart and being that the love that I feel then is waves just going out into the universe and helping to make everything the way that we want it to be, you know?
Nice.
That's a
nice
reminder.
I mean, how cool is that, right? I mean, it's like what we're made to do anyway.
Yeah.
We totally have the capability. Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. That's what I get from nature. That's the healing, you know?
The scientist who talks about how water does radiate or absorb our emotion would totally agree with that. That, you know, when you send it love, it responds.
Yeah. His things, Dr. Emoto, I believe.
Yes.
His work is amazing.
Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I love
that. Well, what's amazing is how much the planet is, you know, we're starting to see how, you know, we're reaching the brink of extinction on the planet, but ultimately only because we're also reaching the brink of an awareness that, listen, this isn't about, you know, we need chemicals, so to speak, to clean it up. We need intention.
Yeah.
Intention is what is going, and once we start realizing it, and beautifully, that it's working on the waters, you know, I always say that, you know, and this is like what I'm getting when I'm sitting by my reservoir is I'm made up of like, what, 70-80% water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so there's clearly macrocosm, microcosm happening, you know, in this experience that what you're doing by your brook, you're doing to self.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that is, like, when I do workshops with children and I incorporate the connection to nature and the love for nature and how nature is so inspirational. And, you know, I talk about how I feel that it creates a more spectacular or beautiful interior landscape in them. And I do think that that's true, that the inside outside, that the beautiful environment interior and the beautiful environment exterior, it's like, the beautiful nature, the power of nature is within as well as without. And the more you are connected to nature, it just seems for me to open up the worlds for children and encouraging them to be in nature.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and that is because there's really not a whole lot in your basic schools, you know, meaning, you know, private and or public, meaning, but not Montessori or some kind of specialized like that.
Yeah.
Nobody's teaching these kids about the importance of the inner world.
The right, and the importance of the inner world and how that is connected to nature, you know, and nature in an open space without, you know, just being in nature. You know, there's like you say, you go in the morning and you just go to the water. That's just being in nature. You know,
absolutely. I literally just sit. I mean, I don't just sit. In my backpack, I've got a couple of pillows. I figured out a way to bring a third blanket because I'm freezing my gazunkas off because it's, you know, 30 degrees with a wind chill of like 10. But I don't care because that's my health. You know, I have to have that healing. Pardon, Suzanne?
I said, could you spell that, please, for me?
Gazunka? Oh, I posted it on Facebook. Well, you know, it's phonetic. You know, but because I tell people all the time, I'll come home and do the treadmill if I want a cardio. When I'm in the woods, it's not that I don't hike. I mean, I'll hike, but my point is I'll take 25 minutes, whatever, get to my space, and then I'll set up a little camp. I'm eventually going to take a picture because I know people are going to crack up when they see that. It's literally, I create a bed. You know, I've got a neck pillow. I've got these pads. I've got little blankets because, I mean, it's like what camping does. I mean, being in nature and being snuggled under blankets, even because I laughed the other day. I was like, no, this is the warmest bed I had to get out of, in, you know, because then you got to pack up and hike. And, you know, when you're snuggled and it's freezing outside, it's like, you know, it really takes, it's hard enough for me to get out of my own bed when the bed is warm and the air is cold, let alone when I'm on the cliffs of the reservoir. But it's exactly like you're saying, Jeannie. I don't have to be doing in nature. Mm-mm. I put myself in nature, and nature is doing for me. I mean, unconditionally healing, period. No conditions on it. It just goes, whether it's the divas or the sprites and or all of the above, the galactics, I believe, definitely have some connection with the trees. I'm not clear on that, but I feel that I get galactic connections, confidence, health, safety and security, peace of mind, balance. All of that is like a natural offspring of just being in nature.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I love that we're advocates of it, too. I love it.
Yeah. And this is really good for me to hear you guys talking about, because with my daughter being homeschooled with her illness and everything, academics is taking a little bit of a backseat to that kind of training, and I'm just now seeing the value of it, hearing you guys talk about it. So, she's learning a lot more than I'm sure her schoolmates are.
I mean, that's what, you know, and all my life since a little kid, I feel that I would not be the writer or the artist or have the imagination or the just something that I have if I didn't have the woods that I had behind my house when I was little, or the ocean that I would go to. So I agree that it's enormous what your daughter's probably getting. You know.
She goes out and every day.
Yeah,
in the most amazing weather conditions. She goes out in snowstorms, and she wears my thermies, and I have some really great outdoor gear, and she uses it and goes out for hours.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's the most amazing thing.
And the magic gown, my character Lily literally does that as well. She snowstorms are one of her favorites, and that's when the magic really comes in really strong, Lily is a connected to nature girl, and that was, you know, me, but also wanting to show every little girls and boys that, you know, nature is just the place you want to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah, I love your character. What is, what's the dragon's name again?
Oh, well, Mr. H. Murr, which he's the king of the desert of uncertainty.
Ooh.
And the reason his name is Mr. H. Murr is because he loves to have people guess what his first name is, but it's Hugh, so it's humor. And when you're in a place of uncertainty, the best thing is humor. And so he's quite a character. He's very funny. And and so Lily develops a pretty good relationship with him, but that's where he lives. And what's amazing, the doorway that leads to that place, which is the third door, which is the place of power, because if you line it up with the chakras, it seems to be visually the children's favorite doorway, and I'm always amazed because there is a little bit of uncertainty and mystery in it, and you know, a little like ooh, scary, and
realism.
So many kids they love it,
yeah.
And I always think that's a great sign that children, you know, are so attracted to the great desert of uncertainty.
Yeah,
because it's brave. It's a brave, and Lily really learns to be brave there, but also she really learns how to laugh. And and that's when all the stars appear in the sky.
Wow. Doesn't the dragon give her the coins?
Well, he gives in this case he kind of drools a lot, you know, and I call it dragon spit because I like that, you know. It's just kind of like
guys were dragons.
Right.
That's another show.
But when the dragon spit hits the ground, it hardens and it becomes little nuggets of dragon's gold.
Right.
And if you go to the desert just to take the dragon's gold, you never make it out. But if you're in the desert and you're there to explore and you're not there just to take the gold, he will gladly give you some. And then it's very handy to have some dragon gold in your pockets when in need, because it's quite magical. So that's a benefit, you know. And so dragon's gold is from dragon spit. And the kids love that.
I love the concept. I love the way you bring it together. And I read it, you know, before you first came on the show, and I haven't read it again. So please, you know, accept my apologies.
No. But next time you might even, you know, get more and laugh more and, you know, see the little hidden things I have in there, because I love putting hidden things, which is, you know, I can always bring this back to nature because it's just so much a part of the book and my work and me. But the book is constantly got little hidden things in there, which I love, just like nature. I mean, you know, you don't see things right away, and if you stay and you're looking, all of a sudden you notice all this other stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's in my stories as well. And, you know, for you, Goldie, or your daughter, Susan, what I've noticed is that my characters, like, will show up when I'm out there. Like, I have a relationship with this great blue heron in the creek behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so magnificent. And so he showed up in this most recent book I've written that'll come out in the spring. And he's the wizard prince Ali Jah. And I just think that he's so royal and magical. And so I've given him quite a formal name. And when he, you know, when he's walking, he's kind of elegant. So so all these, you know, all my characters show up from being out there. And and it's fun because you basically are fictionalizing your own experience.
You know,
exactly.
My daughter has a brilliant imagination, and she comes up with the most amazing stories, and she hates writing them.
Dragon speaks. Do you know what that is?
No.
Wait. Goldie wants to interrupt, and I say this only because I just downloaded it. Dragon speaks is where you, and it's a very good program. It's come a long way since its inception. You speak into a microphone, and it puts it on the keyboards for you. It types it for you.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way I could do a book, because I'm not a big – I can talk from here to, you know, 2012.
Yeah.
But
and I will.
The typing of it, or the writing even of it of hand, I have resistance to. So this – the Dragon Speaks that's out now, you can actually – like I have a little voice recorder I take to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I can plug in the voice recorder, and it will take my voice and type it to Dragon Speaks. It's not even me speaking at the moment.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That's
how
old's your daughter? All those authors out there. It 14. Was $99.
She's 14.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, how old? I thought you said how much. Sorry.
Oh, no.
$99.
No,
the program is $99. My daughter's 14.
Oh, okay.
Well done, Suzanne. Well done. Get that information out there. Yes.
Clarity. Anyway.
For all the listeners to know about that, I think that's, you know, because there's a lot of people, I think, with books in them that they don't even know how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, and then you can go over your words later, and you can sort of, and that's when, you know, you can work with it, but to see it on paper is good, because you can,
yeah,
you start to integrate the story more.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Once it's written down.
Yeah.
Even journaling, I've found that as well. I mean, I'll go back and read some of my stuff, and I'm like, wow, cool. Or I'll be honest, even some of the Facebook posts that, you know, I'll just keep going back and going back and going back, or, you know, to certain things on links, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I've amazed myself at times.
with some of the things you've written, you mean? Like in little
blurbs of wisdom, like, that are just, like, you know, oozing out of dragon spit. Where did that come from, Goldie? You know, yeah.
That could be one of your characters speaking, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just give that to someone, you know, say, okay, that's what some character that you've created, that could be their voice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah,
because for me, I resonate with animals. All my characters are going to be animals. And that's just children and animals. And then maybe, like, the main character will be, you know, if not a little girl, a little female galactic being, you know,
that's just nice.
To keep everything, you know,
yeah,
kind of in that fantasy, but, you know, imaginary space. Because, I mean, when you were saying that you were given the heron, you know, the prince, I totally resonate, you know, because for me, like, I have this idea of a moose being this wise being.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this huge animal that, you know, unlike a rhinoceros, you know, it could charge, but most of the time, you know, I think it grazes, you know, it's not even a carnivore, it's an herbivore. You know, to be that big on the planet, you just kind of get the sense of, you could do so much damage, and there's so much wisdom in this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're off by themselves a lot, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of doing their thing.
Yeah, just being wise, you know. No, I think my moose is going to come along in the story when she gets scared. He's going to just show up quietly and, you know, kind of have, you know, soft conversations with her to let her know you're never alone. You might feel lonely, but you're never alone. And find the strength within, you know. That's there. It's just, you know, because see, that's what I really loved about the magic gown is, in fact, I think I'm going to read it to Anya in Sahana, is the way, you know, you took them on trials, you took Lily on trials and tribulation. Or, you know what I mean? Like, because you got to find yourself, you know, how do you build character? Well, you work through issues. That's how we all build character.
Yeah.
You know, not just of a story, but literally, building of character is about knowing who you are by, unfortunately, knowing who we're not.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point of sort of the, you know, the explorer, the hero, you know, the moving through challenges and growing, and that's what most of those fairy tales are about, you know.
In fact, I think all of them are, right? Is there anyone that's not, that doesn't address some sort of moral issue on some level?
No. In fact, I was just looking at some of my favorite books from when I was little, which of Hansel and Gretel was, like, you know, one of the early, early, early books. And it's all about maturing and growing and, you know, handling a challenge. And so, that's exactly it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Because there's so much to be garnished in, like, my personal feeling is what's happening on a conscious level to the planet right now is pretty much, like, leveling the playing field that all of us are essentially coming into this new consciousness as babes in the woods. You know,
absolutely.
We're not really sure, you know, what works, what doesn't work, you know, how this works, you know, how to participate with it, how to utilize it. And the thing about it is the ones that seem to be the wisest ones right now are the kids.
Yeah.
You know, the message getting is just relax, you know. When it's time for me to step into something more than I'm doing right now, that I will know and I'll be shown. But for right now, just be. And I love that. I'm just happy to just be. Okay, I'll do that.
And your daughter's homeschooled, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. She's been out of school and ill for over a year now. She's like empath, and her brain chemicals got way, way out of balance, and we're just trying to get her back in balance.
Okay.
It's been an interesting journey.
Yeah. And you're part of her you're teaching her?
Yeah, I'm teaching her. I'm probably not teaching her enough academically, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm doing my best, and
she knows how to read and write, though, right? I mean, she knows the basics. She knows how to read and write, and
yes.
Basic
math. Actually know the basics. Yes. And
you've got to wait till she shows you what she's. You know what I mean? If she was saying, "Listen, I'm really kind of interested in architecture," then you could, you know, start bringing. Because see, what I love about homeschool is you let the. It's child based. It's not curriculum based. It's child based.
Yeah, she loves science, but I think the writing is really important because if she wants to be a marine biologist, you have to write papers and you have to write in this world. So that's one thing I want to help her get going. If she just says, I know how to do it and I hate it, well, guess what? So maybe that program would be a really good thing because I could encourage her to use her brilliant imagination and just speak. Mm-hmm. She can even speak her dreams because she's got some wild ones, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think they're just so amazing. She won't write them down. I'm like, okay, dictate, because I got to write this thing down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and when she sees it written and on paper, like looking at it, I think that could be a shift in itself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And she could start to work with it. So here's hoping, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, I'd love to know more. Like, you know, keep in touch with me about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you're on Facebook.
I am.
Okay.
Look, she'll be, if you come to my, you'll find her as a friend, or you can just go to Janine. Oh, well, you're Janine L. Kimmel, right, I think?
Yeah, or just go to yours. That would probably be good, too, and just click in.
Exactly, and then just connect from there. So.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you start writing?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I started writing poetry in my early teens, just spontaneously. It wasn't really a thinking process, and I was always surprised by it, you know, how transformative it was for me. I would be feeling very emotional or emotions, and I would just start writing. And it typically was always inclusive of nature, and I would start the poem in one mood or one, you know, one emotional state and come out the other end. And I really honestly didn't understand why I did this or what was happening, but all I knew is that it was just amazing how it transformed me.
Yeah.
And it was very personal, and I literally did not understand. You know, it almost scared me a little bit, like that I would just start writing. It wasn't like get the paper and write. I would just start writing. So for years, I didn't show anybody my poetry. And it was just an intimate process of my own. Right. And then later on, like more towards 1920, I started writing a book called Pen Pal. And
you're talking about your age, not the year.
What?
What? Later on, towards 1920, I'm like, we're in 2010.
I know,
that
you sound
you
so
110
young.
Or something.
Wait, what?
I just heard it, like, at the year 1920, as opposed to
19
your
or 20
age
years old.
Being...
Yes, oh, that's so funny. yes,
you bring out the humor in me, Janine. You really... Sorry. Okay.
No, that's all right. No, so okay. I started to write this book called Pen Pal, and it was words from the heart written for the head. And I knew then that I wanted to I was so amazed how it helped me that it was just something I knew was special. And so I knew from that point that I wanted to share that creative process of expression and writing and transformation, and it was always connected with nature. So it was just, you know, they were completely intrinsic to each other. So ever since then, and I'm 55 now, that was something I knew I wanted to do. And so I, you know, later on in my, I would always write poetry. I loved art. I would you know, write short stories and submit them. But it wasn't until into my 30s that I started writing, you know, more books. And I wrote something called The Pale Blue Connection, which was adult. It was just all about nature and creativity and poetry. And another thing that I integrate in there is something I call initiation art. And that was my master's program, where I would find objects in nature, one being the magic gown, and other pieces of wood, and I would create these beings. One was called The Release of Sorrow. One was called The Dancing Tree Man. Another one was The Shimmering World. Another one was this little moth that came to visit me in dreams. I made her out of wood. They're all in the magic gown, by the way. But I call them initiation art because I felt that I was creating these pieces that were taking me to a new level of maturity and growth. And I was also honoring my experience and my courage to move forward. And so I really, that's where it all started, with wanting to help to bring these workshops to children and just in some way touch them with this, you know, not overwhelm them with it, but just start an introduction into this kind of process.
Letting yourself be inspired by nature and taking action on it, inspired action.
And realizing that there's so much more going on than we even, you know, I mean, I literally would be like, it would just take me, and I would have these creatures and these beings, and they were part of stories, and it was just a process that was amazing. And so in any way I can, I try to show, you know, kids how, and obviously adults, but because it affected me so much as a child, I try to introduce it into kids' lives that this is possible. You know, there's just this transformation quality that's occurring. And it's always through creativity and paying attention and allowing. And, so that's all on my website, too, in terms of, like, explaining initiation art. Those were some of the most powerful experiences I've ever had.
Can I interrupt for a sec?
Yeah.
Is there a book? Have you published a book on initiation art?
No, it's just with my master's thesis that I created out of these six pieces of art. But it definitely could be a book.
Absolutely.
Well, it's true that mostly it could be a book for sure.
It could be a workshop.
Yeah, because it's very experiential. And in fact, a school asked me, they had me do the poetry workshop. They had me do my illustrated short story workshop. And they said, well, what else? And I said, well, there's a little bit more complex workshop I could do called, you know, an initiation art, which is just to take something, you know, you found or something of meaning, and, you know, and bring it in, and we could create an art piece out of it. And it's basically like the power of a ritual. And I'm careful about not mentioning that too often in schools because, you know, but that's really what it is. That's what
it's
it is.
Exactly,
do schools resist that? The word ritual is in
resistance? Yeah, I'm careful about it because, you know, they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, but my term initiation art basically is that, because you are self-ritualizing yourself into a new place of who you are, of growing. And that's a really important piece of my work. And you know, even in The Magic Gown, you'll see she's constantly being initiated into these new places.
Isn't every doorway is an initiation?
Yeah, and all these little pieces that, you know, because, you know, the shell that she catches in the beginning.
Right.
That's the shell of great fortune in mysterious ways, and that's an initiation. You know, and she doesn't know it, but she's getting pulled into this quest. And, you know, it's kind of fun because it's a little bit like, no, she, you know, it's kind of like well, that doesn't really sound too good. I don't want to do that. You know, it's like kind of, well, it's too late because it's
exactly. You're in.
Well,
and it's all, I mean, you kind of do that also with the swan coming out of the pot. I mean, that was really like,
yeah,
you know, here she is just having lunch and no, you're in.
You're in. And she's like, I don't think I like that. And she's like, well, you know, sorry.
Well, but you know, if you think about it, everybody, I have said that on my journey. You know,
yeah.
I remember, you know, 1996, I'm going to initiate, I mean, I'm going to ascend. That I was working with the Kryon work and, you know, at one point he said, make an actual statement, you know, acknowledge you're going
yeah.
to ascend. You know, and by 2001, it's like, okay, listen, I'd like to forget a little. You know, can I unring some bells? Because are you kidding me? That I thought it was going to be feathers and, I mean, not feathers, angels and harps and clouds. And I am, like, in the darkest night of the soul. And I didn't sign, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, I don't know if it's better to go in thinking it's going to be angels because I don't know that I would have done it otherwise, and yet it comes from within. There, you know what I mean? There's no stopping it. Once it's just our egos get scared and go, turn around, go, go.
Yeah. Well, yes. When I did the Vision Quest and I actually in 1993, and I actually did find the magic gown, it was a training with this anthropologist, and I told her, I said, you know, this training should come with a warning that your life will never be the same. And,
no.
You know, she laughs. And of course, I'm so happy that my life was never the same and that I found the magic gown. And you know, it, and I was off and running. But you're right. There's every once in a while you're like, what? You feel like Lily going, no. And, you know, and then.
Exactly.
But that's
well,
all part
like
of it.
It's almost like life knows that that is part of, it's part of the journey because courage
yeah.
is always going to be a part of the journey.
Yeah.
It just
oh, yeah.
seems, it's just a natural part of it. And we can try and skate and say, oh, I've got this, you know, until, of course, the next moment when you're standing at the cliff and, you know, life is telling you, okay, now jump.
Yeah, and that's why my initiation art, what's nice about it, too, is that it acknowledges your courage so that,
oh,
you know,
right.
you're actually, you know, you're giving yourself, you know, credit for having the courage to move to another place. And that's important, too, you know. So,
yeah.
So it's all mixed up with, like, fun and magic, but also with growth and maturity.
Creativity.
Yeah.
And creativity, definitely.
And creativity.
Definitely, yeah. Because personally, I think that is the significant, you know, like, thread of consciousness that is clearly lacking in our education systems, the creativity, you know.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is, and that's really right. And this sensation of allowing creativity to actually take you, you know,
yeah.
I want so much to share that, and
yeah.
and it's hard to in a very confined, you know, but it, even just a little glimpse is
right.
enough.
Right.
It's enough.
Well, do you ever bring the dress in, like when you're doing these workshops? Or
yes, you know, it's
of
in a
course.
Case.
Okay.
It's in a case that travels, you know. And,
oh,
nice.
Okay.
Yeah, and I bring in, I do bring in all my some of my sculptures, like the release of Sorrow, who's really called Nina. She's the queen of the shimmering world, and she's in the magic gown. And it's remarkable that mothers, teachers, children, they just look at the gown in like awe. And it does create a sense of mystery, and I'm always delighted by that because it's a very different piece of art. But you can see that on my website as well. It's got a picture of the magic gown, the real one, in the
okay,
art.
I know
section.
I'm dying to read the book now.
Well,
that's the point. Good job.
The best book report.
What?
This is the best book report.
Yeah.
But we're giving our book reports.
Yeah.
No, please, Janine, continue. I love when you talk about this. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks.
It's
thanks.
Magical. No, my pleasure. I love it. Please continue.
No, so it's so funny because this gown that I found in nature, in a riverbed, while I was camping by myself, you know, facing fears, being, you know, being in the just the mystery,
yeah.
It gave me a gift, and
yeah.
and I was keen enough, you know, to notice it, because you know some things you just don't notice, and then some
yeah.
things you do, and then
yeah.
they have something for you, and
yeah.
from that object that came all this, you know, and it's pretty amazing, and so I love bringing the gown in.
Well,
when
yeah,
I
it's
can.
Almost like you're bringing in the non-physical into the physical. You know what I'm saying? It is
oh,
the imagination
yeah.
world made
yeah.
manifest.
Yeah, yeah. And my, you know, one of my dreams would be, and so I've been thinking
oh,
about this.
Oh, state it. Yes, yes. State
yes,
it.
Yes,
that's powerful.
Yes.
Yes.
The entire collection, all the magic gown paintings,
okay.
Which are large and beautiful, there's probably... I don't know, 15, 16 of them, plus all the sculptures, including the gown. I would love to go on a tour, like the Magic Gown Collection would tour, and
wow.
would you know, and would be in a certain city. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
That'd be awesome.
Okay,
yeah,
listen, so, I'm a networker by nature. I need to connect you with some. There's somebody. Her name is Kelly. I can't think of Kelly's last name, but Kelly has, she's restoring a bus.
Oh.
And I totally got the feeling of, you know, she decided basically, I mean, in a nutshell, she decided that she's going to quit her job next year and tour.
Okay.
And she's got a thread going, I need to introduce you to.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
As soon as you say that, you know, Kelly just started a thread of, you know, her tour, but because, you know, there could clearly be magic between you. I mean.
Yeah, because what I thought was, thank you, because I thought if you had, you know, the space, you know, and again, it's like, every, you know, when the time is right.
Right, right.
But I figured all you need is certain spaces because the paintings are so large and there's, it's just beautiful when everything's together. So you'd have to have a space in like a certain city, and then, you know, maybe you're there for like 6 weeks and then it moves or whatever.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
Because these are big. They're large 60 by 45 paintings. And then there's
okay.
the gown
wow.
and then there's these sculptures and they're, you know, some of them are big. And so, yeah, it would be like a collection in a space.
Did you do all those things?
What?
Did you do all those things?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
They're in storage right now. Some of them are hanging and some, you know, like the map of the Land of Ten Kings and Roses from the Magic Gown is 9 feet big. I mean, it's just awesome when it's all in one space.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So I can
yeah.
start with, you know, I should start with just one space and see, but my dream is that it would tour.
Wow.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Right, and I would imagine if you created it in one space before that space closed, somebody would say, can you come to the next space?
Yeah, can you move it now? Yeah.
Of course, because that would be the nature of, because one of the elements that I'm getting, at least in this energy, is planning is just obsolete.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's true. That's exactly right. Because nothing that I've done, it's all been in this just sort of this movement of
right,
you know
right.
meeting the right
fluidity.
People. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm open to that.
Oh, and wait, and mention too, well, you got Italy. Maybe the first showing would be in Italy.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, clearly there's interest, so indeed.
And Ireland. Ireland?
And Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because my new book that's coming out in the spring, because I wrote it, I traveled to Ireland 3 times to be in the most extraordinary middle of nowhere to write. It was just beautiful. And because I was in County Kerry, and, you know, talk about ultimate inspiration. I mean, the green mountains of Ireland and the waterfalls and just everything about it. So I wrote it in County Kerry, a lot of it. And so the libraries of County Kerry have already pre-ordered a book for each of their libraries.
Oh,
and
wow.
and so I'm going over there when the books are out out, and I'm going to, you know, hand deliver them and then do like a reading and a book signing. And
sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So Ireland's another place. So basically it's the United States, Italy, and Ireland is sort of the triangle. That
maybe that would be a good place to start then, you know?
The
since
Ireland,
you've already got
right?
something going on there, yeah.
Yeah, and now, see, but, I mean, yeah, I'm completely open to that.
Yeah, but you got to get all that stuff over there, and it's big and heavy.
Oh, it's big, yeah. It would take, like, a container, you know, like a big container.
Yeah.
But exactly. That was my visual as well. It's like, you know, isn't that how art is normally, like, you know, because there are, mm-hmm. you know, things in museums that travel.
Oh, they ship,
you know,
and they go over, all over, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm really open to that, you know. They, you know, horses travel on planes, and, you know, so art can travel on planes. And
yes, even Mr. Murr can travel on a plane.
It's totally doable.
It is totally doable. I mean, it's really amazing. And you know what? I really feel your alignment with this, and I would say, you know, hold the space of joy that has already happened, and then it's in the divine click of the clock when it happens, it's just going to flood to you, you know,
good.
Whether it's a backer or the demand, whatever it is, it's going to just be
yeah.
there for you.
And thank you, though, because I'm happy that I announced it, you know, with you listening, because that's the first time I've really spoken about it.
Ooh.
In public.
Excellent.
So that's kind
of, excellent.
That,
yes.
That's an initiation in itself.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I
have found more often than not, in fact, when I used to broadcast out of Rhode Island, you know, I would talk my talk, you know, of being on the air, and I can't even think right now, but I would say stuff like of processing that I would feel I was, mm-hmm. I had achieved. And what would happen is, I would go through the darkest of energy driving home that 2 hours from the Rhode Island, because what the universe would do is, because I mentioned it on the air, I had to now own it.
Oh, yeah.
And be it. And it seemed to be much more, you know, and I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying because I was saying things that, you know, I thought I was this, that, and the other thing. And this energy of, like, why do I feel like caca driving home? And me and my girlfriend Alana figured out, well, because we're claiming we're this, that, and the other thing, so now we have to be it.
No, that's so true. That's so true. That exposure, it, you know, it's you feel vulnerable.
Help.
It's like,
yes.
Uh-oh, what did I do? What did I begin? But I know that one very well. So, you know, even though I'm so willing. I'm so
because
willing.
Remember, this is a dream. This, in other words, it doesn't have to only happen to our fears, so to speak. I mean, it happens from both ends of it. That's the beauty of having the radio show. It absolutely can accelerate your dreams.
Yeah, manifesting.
Because more than one mind, you know, when two or more gather, this is everybody hearing it is. It's now going into consciousness.
Yeah.
That just by them hearing it is helping it to be created into this dimension.
Plus,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I call it the Magic Gown Collection, and it's still intact, the whole thing, you know. And,
nice.
And I also have something called the Magic Gown Project, which is how this collection, this work, my book, does good for, you know, it brings sort of upliftment. I'm more than willing, say, if I found sponsors, to make beautiful prints of these art pieces and put them in places where I feel that, you know, the energy's depressed or they need
like pediatric hospital.
Yeah, and I have done that, and I do. It's
nice.
What I call the Magic Gown Project, but, It exists, and I've worked with it, but it has a lot. It can really grow a lot more. So,
and it will. It will.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm here
to see you do that.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Well,
of course, I love you, Janine. I adore assisting you. This is just magical. I love it. Of course.
And here's the good news that in the book ends with the seventh door. And the new book, the sequel, which I'll begin writing soon, but I already have the paintings, the eighth door has already appeared. So that's kind of fun. It's just like an expansion or a moving up. There's like the next door has shown itself, and I didn't know that it would, but it did. So now.
Well, and if this is also following chakras, I mean, this makes sense because there is definitely awakening of we're going beyond the seven chakras. We're going up to 12 from what I'm hearing, and I would imagine it's unlimited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
12 is just the DNA of the human. Once we become galactic in consciousness and planetary in consciousness, you know, numbers are just, you know, how big can you grow?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fun. That's a fun thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
So I'm curious, do you do any kind of meditations with the kids or is it mostly creative work?
You know, originally when I first started doing the poetry workshops, I would play this beautiful Nakai flute music.
I know him well.
And I wouldn't say it was a meditation because I was in, you know, public schools and
that's just as bad as ritual.
right. So what I would do is I would just play this beautiful flute music and kind of set a mood or a tone. But I didn't formally say that we were meditating.
Right.
And you know, I would love to be able to do that, but I kind of am flexible, and where I am, I kind of, you know, do what I do, and you know, it's kind of work your magic the best way you can.
I was curious because I was going to ask you to do a meditation tonight.
Oh.
But this is if you do it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to put you on the spot by any means.
Oh, no.
There's a powerful presence in you, and I can feel it. So I'm like, all right, let's utilize Janine.
Well, I could do something
Does
fun.
Does that sound wrong?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I could do something fun that I actually thought of for another group that people might enjoy.
If you're open to it.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be fun for me, and it's pushing me. So that's okay too, because you know.
You're awesome. Yeah. We're at another door of initiation.
another one. So I can do that anytime you want me to.
How's about right now?
Okay. Okay.
Now, I'm at my computer. Would you like me to put on any? I can put music on if you'd like, or we cannot. It's up to you.
No. I think I'll just.
Okay.
This is all experimental, so just go with me. But
I'm in.
Okay, great. This would be about where you are right now and you're sitting. So if you were to close your eyes. And you would get just quiet and allow me to take you on a little trip because there's something for you, a gift. So your eyes are closed and the room that you're in, you start to hear the waves of the ocean kind of coming in, hitting the sand very gently, and then receding. And you just don't know where's that ocean sound coming from. So in your mind, you get up and you walk to the door that leads you out of the room. And you notice that the door now is a bright cornflower blue. It's just so beautiful. And all around the bright blue door is growing vines of a beautiful pink flower that looks like lilacs, and they smell gorgeous. And through the door that's partially open, you hear the ocean. So you kind of walk up to the door and you peer through, but it's funny, you hear the ocean, but the floor is a red and white tile, and the walls are kind of a pale green. And you decide, okay, I'm going to go up and I'm going to walk through the door. and you're standing now on the red and white tile, and you're surrounded by these pale green walls. It's a very small little room, but you still hear the ocean. You close your eyes, and all of a sudden, the green walls just sort of mist away. And you look down, and you can't believe it, but you're standing on sand. It's a pale peach color. And you're in a beautiful cove on a sandy beach. And you walk up to the ocean. That's the most beautiful blue, turquoise. And you're just looking out to the horizon. And you're looking for something. Behind you is a forest, and all you can hear is little birds chirping and kind of tropical sounds. But you're just standing by the ocean waiting. And maybe even the water sort of laps up and touches your toes. And now you see something coming flying towards you. Far, far, far away, but it's a little object. And then it's coming closer and closer. And you're looking, and you can't believe it, but it's this beautiful white seagull. And it comes and it flies directly above you, and you notice it has something in its beak. And right as he's over you, he drops it. And having great reflexes, you put out your left hand and you catch what he dropped. And you hold it in your hand, and it's cool and it's soft. It's like smooth. It's not soft, it's smooth. And you open it and you have in your hand an oyster shell, a half of an oyster shell. And you look at it and it's like a creamy color. It's nice and cool, it's smooth, and it's shimmering gold and purple. And you don't know this right now, but what just happened was the seagull named Tu, he brought you the shell of great fortune in mysterious ways. And now you've been initiated on a beautiful journey that you'll be called to take. And you close your eyes and you're holding the shell, and the water's lapping up against your feet. And the next thing you know, you're back in your chair and you're sitting. And that's the end of the journey. Wow. And you have your shell. And you've been initiated.
Gotcha!
Did you like it?
Listen, I have to tell you something. When I went to my reservoir Monday, there was a shell.
And get out!
And I picked it up and I looked at it, and it was beautiful and it was white and it was pearlescent. And then I went, I'm going to put it down. But I'll be honest, I'm going back tomorrow to pick up my shell.
Okay.
I mean, you literally spoke to me from a totally synchronistic point of view.
That's a message to you, and that's what two is a messenger bringer. And the opening scene, Susan, is Lily having the same thing happen to her with a little bit of a different twist, because I brought in the first doorway, which is in the magic gown, but she catches the shell from a white seagull, and that's the beginning. So I thought, well, that could be fun.
Definitely when you're, you should definitely do that when you're supposed to, you know what I mean?
Think that, you know, I could even improve it, because that was a first.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's so funny that Goldie would ask me to do that, because it actually was in my mind that would be a fun journey, and for people to catch this piece of initiation, and it's such a positive initiation. Anyway, thank you.
Wow. I love that you say it was in your mind, because there's
it
a
was.
Coagulation going on. I love it. I love it. Cheers to you, Janine. That was exquisite. Cheers to Suzanne and all the listeners, because we've been initiated. You can't unring the bell, you know. Wait. Where's my little thing? Here, wait. This is Goldie. Get ready. We've been initiated.
Right. Well, it's kind of fun to make a meditation. You know, there's so many ways of meditating, and they're all so great. And it's kind of fun that for me, I enjoy taking someone on a trip and having them initiated with something. So that maybe that's just, you know, for me, that would be the way I would love to help meditate for some people.
But see, that's all meditation and or hypnosis, which is exactly what it is. It's a guided journey to help people connect with themselves. I mean, that is it. I mean, and you're, because something just told me, it was like, God, she's such an exquisite writer of imagination and visualization. You know, when you were describing the colors of the tiles and I could smell the flowers, you know, it's like, that is, your gift is that you can bring exactly what the dress is showing you. You can bring the non-physical into the physical just through your words.
Thanks.
Because my hands were totally buzzing. And it was funny because I was holding the phone in my left hand and it was like, Goldie, it's your imagination. Catch. You don't need to actually.
Right. You don't need to actually. Right. It was all
exactly.
was all in your imagination. That's
exactly.
So funny. But yeah, and that was experimental for me. And I'm so feedback's great. And I did think, though, that would be fun to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go walk through the first door and hear the ocean and then get. And have the shell, you know, come down and be part and be yours.
Well, because right the minute it's now, everybody has just been truly. I mean, everybody that listens to the broadcast, even.
Well,
the initiation of something beautiful, and it can be anything.
Yeah.
Because that's what I love. This doesn't have to be initiation. I guess, you know, I think in the past, or at least from my experience, you used to remind me of things that were real negative. You know, it's like,
oh,
I
right,
must
but
endure.
These are beautiful.
You must, yeah, it's like, this isn't about endurance. This
no.
is about play.
No, yeah, and right, it's like, no, it's exactly right that these are beautiful initiations, and that's why the object is beautiful, and that's why the
right.
name of it is Great Fortune in Mysterious Ways, which is such a broad, you know, it's a broad
right.
initiation.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more of self. It's like bringing in another piece of self.
Yeah, and it's very positive.
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so funny. My visual, when people say initiation, the Native Americans, you like, they put these sticks
yeah,
through
the,
their
no,
chest.
I know.
It's like, ow! I don't want to do that.
No. All the initiations that I think of are beautiful, and you know,
yes.
yeah, you do confront
yes.
fear. I mean, but
agreed, but not pain necessarily.
But not right, and you don't have to. It's inviting.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
all different kinds.
You know,
of
I believe that is absolutely the attributes of the new consciousness that is different from the attributes of the old conscious.
Mm.
Exactly what you just said. Inviting the beauty of initiation as opposed to, you know, the struggle and strife. You know, this isn't about proving our warriors. This
no.
is about exemplifying our inner child. Really.
Yeah.
You know, what just came to me about that is that this next passage that we're all going to be going through in the shift, the reason that we've been called upon to release so much of the past is just exactly that, so that it's a lot more gentle. It doesn't have to
yeah.
be a painful initiation. It's just a gentle, beautiful easing into the next.
Exactly. Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree
yeah.
totally.
Yeah, and that's it. Again, it's that beauty thing, you know, the Dante thing, beauty awakens the soul to act. I mean, it just does.
right. It's not something that has to be forced. It just, again, and then to go back to nature, it just does, because it's the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is you'll want to act in a beautiful experience because it's creativity as opposed to force and you know, control and, you know, force by might and right. And, you know, it's none of that. It's really, it's, you know, the gentleness of the butterfly with the power of the tsunami.
Yeah, the wings, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny because there's a butterfly in the cover of the Magic Gown, and her name is Teresa. And she's hovering above the shell of Great Fortune in Mysterious Ways. If you look at the picture, and she appears whenever there's change in the air. So, and it's funny because I always emphasize that to children because I want change to not be a frightening thing. I want it to be an exciting thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, that alone is something that, you know, I tell people all the time, in fact, it's on my profile, if we would just look at change as a natural instead of as something to fear, that one simple belief swap, so to speak, you know, to swap that belief, that change is an adventure and change is exciting, it puts you in a totally different realm to experience the times that are yet to come. I mean, a totally different realm. It's a difference between, you know, being, well, it's almost what we just did. In other words, we can be initiated like children instead of having to go, you know, starve ourselves for 48 hours in a sweat lodge and then stick pins through our chest. I mean, you know, I don't want to, I honor people if they're still doing that. It's just, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
No, you should just you can stand on a sandy beach in your imagination and catch the shell of great fortune in mysterious ways, you know, and be off and running, you know.
So amazing. I mean, it's like the imagination really is. I think it's my essence. You know, that is, they're almost interchangeable. What I keep calling in as my essence is my imagination.
Yeah, which is your creator or your creation or your...
And or both, exactly.
Indigenous
cultures. Excuse me. Indigenous cultures look at what's imagination as more reality than what we see as reality.
Exactly.
That's the truth. That is so true.
Oh, the truth. Yeah.
And that's such an abstraction to a lot of people. And so the more you can get comfortable with that concept, the more real the imagination becomes.
Absolutely.
Right.
There's such a power. We have
it's such a different way of looking at life.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's why dream time is so important, like with your daughter. And, you know, that's why I like doing dream workshops, because I know that the dream time is not really something that is spoken about in schools or our culture, like as if to say, hey, did anyone have an interesting dream? Because kids wouldn't know what to do if you asked them that in school. They'd be like, what? But it's so true that that's such a rich territory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The whole subconscious lives there. I mean,
that's
definitely
why
rich territory. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wow, you give me so much to ponder. I really enjoy that.
That's good.
You know, because I found that shell on Monday. That's so wild.
Yeah, that'd be fun to go back and get it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had already planned. I was like, okay, I want to play in this whole area. And I mean, I love it. I'm climbing rocks. And
the shell's going to be like, hi, Goldie.
And she's going to go, okay, now you figured it out, come take me. It's like, I'm in, because, I mean, I'm going to put it on my altar and, you know, let the magic begin. And
Yeah, you know why? You know what's so great about that? When I came upon the gown, the dress in the riverbed,
right.
I left it, get this, I left it there because
okay.
I was like, And I went back and I did my vision quest, and then I returned to the group like 2 days later, and the incredible teacher, Angela Sarian, said, well, what's new, everybody? And, you know, I didn't even think of it. And then I said, well, I found this gown up in the canyon, and it was kind of scary, and, you know, because, you know, there were these Anastasi ruins way over my head, and I was alone, and she goes, well, did you get it? And I went, no, should I have? And she didn't answer me, but I already knew the answer.
Right.
And I ran up the canyon all the way, like, you know, 40 minutes, got the gown. It was covered with moss and dirt, brought it back, and then I claimed it just like the shell. You left it, but you'll go back, you know. And it's funny. Sometimes, you know, that initiation is a two-step process.
Exactly. I love it, in truth. Yes. That's okay. If that's the way it is, then that's okay. You know, indeed. Indeed, because now I'm really excited to go back. I mean, because now, what did you say was? What did you call it? It's the initiation of all things
great,
mystery, or
no, great fortune and mysterious ways.
Wow.
So, and it's just it's an opening process. It's a beginning process of a quest, or you know, just magic coming in.
Yes.
Because Zara Bluewood, the blue swan, who shows up in Lily's kitchen, and she's like, "What are you doing here?" And she says something like, she says, "Oh," because Lily made a necklace out of the shell, you know, so she's wearing the shell, and she doesn't know. She just thinks, "Oh, a seagull dropped it, and I caught it, and it's pretty, and I made a necklace." So Zara Bluewood, this beautiful blue swan, says to her, I see you're wearing the shell of great fortune in mysterious ways. And she says, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah." And so Lily's like, "Oh, what's that mean?" And then and Zara Bluewood says, "The time has come, so long forbidden, until now, this magic hidden. Wonderful, wonderful," whispers her voice. "Oh, sweet child, let us rejoice. Another door has opened."
Ooh, very nice.
Well, maybe I should make it a necklace. I'm thinking I should make it a necklace. I'll take the blue swan coming to see me. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to make it a necklace. I am. I'll take a picture when it's done. I'll show everybody.
That's really fun.
I can't even tell you. My hand is tingling.
I'm happy.
This whole time. I mean, yeah, it's so energetically you're moving.
How amazing is it if you asked me if I had a meditation? I couldn't believe it. I was like, "What? How does she know?"
Oh, yeah, I don't know how I know sometimes. It's just a good thing I don't get afraid to ask. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
That's okay. I need a little push.
Yeah, no, your presence told me. That it was like, because somebody said, you know, do a meditation. It's like, okay. You know,
that's
we didn't
great.
Do one. Oh, and what I want everybody to know, too, is if you scroll back in the archives, Janine tells the whole story about the gown in our first interview, and it really is a fascinating story.
It's a powerful
And we have it on the archives. Yeah, it's really good. So
I
highly
recommend.
Or just get the book. And get the book, of course. But the book doesn't really tell you about the personal.
Oh, okay.
There's a ritual involved with the gown.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And because I remember, Janine, when we first did that, you were like, "Nobody's ever asked me about this."
I know, and I got to tell it, which was so fun because remember I said that the time that you have on here, you know, the 2 hours.
Because of the 2 hour show.
Really allows the time to tell the full stories, which is so nice.
Yeah.
And it also allows the time for something to unfold that wouldn't have, like you asking me to do a meditation that I actually had in my head but was going to experiment with. And that would never have happened under, you know, limited amount of time. And
absolutely.
That's another thing that is so great because that's when all the magic does happen.
Exactly. And that is literally when I was in Rhode Island, I only did an hour show. And when I came to Blog Talk and they offered for free,
mm-hmm.
2 hours, I clearly knew. And I've had guests say, you know, "How are we going to fill up 2 hours?" And it's like, "Don't worry."
Yeah.
You know, I can do enough talking myself. And I said, "But we have audience." I was like, "Listen, if you just get into the conversation, the real juice will come up the second hour. That's
mm-hmm.
when the really, like you said, the magic comes out
mm-hmm.
because there's a momentum that, and you can hear it in other shows that are only an hour, just like they're skimming. You know, everything's so skimmed.
Yeah, and they're rushing you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it's great because I never would have known that we would do a meditation with an initiation in it. I wouldn't have even known that initiation would be such a key part of this discussion, which is great. It really is great.
So synchronistic. I know that me, Suzanne, my beautiful friend in 817 is listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're all, this is, you know, literally all of us wanting this and creating
mm-hmm.
this as a group.
Yeah.
And that's, it's like the shows are becoming so fluid in whether I'm asking a question that somebody in the audience was thinking, or helping the guest express it, what, or vice versa. There's just such a dance of awareness and consciousness, you know, always based on the premise of we're just going to speak spontaneously about, you know, we pick a broad subject, like connecting with nature. I mean, that was our broad subject. And of course, I knew we were going to talk about the magic gown and wanted to. You know, it wasn't about exclusion of that. It was just a matter of
spontaneously
unfolding this. Yeah, and letting it come out as, you know, because what I love about when you're on the show is it's like, you're the author, but you're also, you're the magician. You become the magic itself, because it is indeed you who brings imagination into manifestation. And there's just your essence, you know. When I was talking to your publicist, I was like, you know, and she was like, oh, do you want her on again? It's like, oh, well, by the way, she's coming on Thursday night. But I was like, I go, you know, I'm just so close with her. Speaking of you, like you're not even here. I'm just so close with you because I resonate deeply with that aspect of who you are and how you express yourself. It's just so. Oh, thank you, Janine. Truly, I enjoy these times. You know, and they're archived, and other people get to enjoy them. You know, it's a gratitude fest. You know,
yeah,
really, it's a gratitude fest.
Yeah, and it's fun to just let something unfold. I mean, it's nice to have some structure but then the real good stuff is when you just keep going, and you know, you're generating each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so something that's come up for me while you're talking about creating artwork is that I haven't done it in a long time, and I need to get back into the creative flow, but I've made some beautiful rattles.
Oh, beautiful.
From gourds and like driftwood and just sticks that I found outside, and I've decorated them. And, you know, the first one that I did was as a result of a vision that a girl had given to me about a sea turtle dropping me on the beach as a baby. So I made a rattle that looks like a sea turtle, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's got turquoise and lapis beads on it, and it's just all painted and I really love this thing, and it's, you know, it's exactly like the art that you're talking about, because in creating this thing, it was transformational for me, because I discovered that I could make such a thing, you know. And to find that inside of yourself is just a really, it's such a gift.
And that is initiation art.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How long ago was the first rattle, the turtle rattle?
The turtle rattle was probably from maybe 10 years ago.
Wow. And then you have how many, like, rattles following that?
Well, yeah, one rattle I did was of a Siberian tiger.
Wow.
And it was basically just the head of the tiger, but the eyes were imaginal, and it's very clearly tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I would love to get back into doing art, and it's just, I haven't done it.
Well, you know, but how many rattles do you think you have made?
Oh, no, just these two. I've done beadwork and things like that, but
Yeah, but what's so cool about that is that you can track you and the creation of these, and that you were moving through something, you know, and then you could pick it up again, and I'm excited that this conversation has stimulated that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
That's great.
The mistake that I've been staring at it the whole time that we've been.
That's so perfect. Is that perfect or what?
So listen, I brought up turtle wisdom. Can I share it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so turtle or tortoise, symbol of the earth, connection with the center, navigation skills, patience, self-boundaries, associated with the feminine, power to heal female diseases, respecting the boundaries of others, developing new ideas, psychically protecting oneself, self-reliance, tenacity, and nonviolent defense.
Beautiful.
Yeah. If you want, I can cut and paste and post that if you want or not. It's up to you.
Oh, sure.
Well, you know, it's funny because my next story coming out called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, a turtle, it's the history of a river, an enchanted river from a really long time ago to present day, but there's a very sweet turtle in there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's one of the main characters. So turtle medicine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a she. I don't know why I always think of turtles as he's.
Yeah, this is a she turtle.
That's my own thing. Yeah, no, good. I'm glad because I don't, it's like, there must be some she's out there.
That's funny. I love that you think.
Yeah, I do that with animals. I tend to genderize them, which is so.
No, I do that too, but I think that's good. I like that.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because an animal show up and you're like, oh, you're a girl, you're a boy, and that's okay because that's how you relate to them.
Well, that's true, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
So.
Right, whether, yeah, no, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ayanna, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have something else to add here that's coming to mind because I just picked up my rattle and I'm rattling it, and I found that in some shamanic work that I've done that the most inspirational things come when someone is rattling. So if, say, I was doing a mask-making workshop or something like that, while the people are working on masks and selecting all the materials from the table that they want to use, for someone to be rattling.
I hear the
like,
rattle.
Yeah. Does that sound all right to you guys?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I wonder if you could incorporate that into the work with children. I think it would speak to them a lot without interfering with, you know, if you maybe they're into Native American stuff or whatever and they won't consider it goofy, you just say, oh, you know, it's just Native American tradition.
Yeah, no, that's true because that's what I did with the beautiful Native American flute. But the rattle is just a great, first of all, it reminds me of rain for some reason, but it's,
and that's funny you said that. When I hear it over the phone, that's what it reminds me of.
Didn't it remind you of rain? Same with
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Just
yeah.
Now when you were
yeah.
talking, it was like, as if I was hearing rain.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's
very nurturing. Very nurturing.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I could incorporate that. You can, you know, it's all experimental, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Exactly. See what you can get away with.
Well, that, now you're talking to the rebel girl. I get that. I totally get that. You have struck a chord with me, Janine. Well, and you know what else it is? It's language. That's
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like you said,
true.
You can't use the word ritual, but you can use the word, you know, transformation. You
mm-hmm.
know, so once you
vibration.
Understand. But, and you know, it's funny because it's not just about schools. I mean, I'm learning languages, everything in that. Like, when I speak to my father, when I first changed my name, I mean, I was 36 years old when I started this whole process. And, you know, most people do it, you know, maybe in seventh grade or, you know, whatever. Goldie's doing
hey,
it.
Hey, I was 39, so don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. So you know how, you know, people were like, are you out of your gourd? You know, what are you thinking? And one of the things my father was like, I'll never, you know, initially he was like, I'm not calling you Golden Hawk. You know, my father's a Jewish retired engineer. You know, it's just not the name he picked for me. And one of the things that I finally figured out was he supported me and literally gave me Mazel Tov and, you know, blessings on your new name. When I told them, Dad, they want to write me checks on the radio show, but they got to write it to Golden Hawk.
There you go.
So I kind of need to go and change my name because, remember, that's who I am on the radio. So, and my father went, you have my blessing. And I was like,
aww.
Awesome. But
that's
it was a matter
great.
Of, it had to be because of checks were being sent.
Oh, that's
to
funny.
Me. But it's the truth because if we know the language of whoever,
yeah.
we're, if you're dealing with somebody who likes to cook,
yeah.
speak of it in flavors. If you're
yeah.
an artist, speak of it in colors. A musician, speak of it in sound. It's like you can say the same thing in so many different ways, and if you learn many different ways, it just makes your orchestra, so to speak, that much fuller. You
yeah,
know,
and
because you,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, because when you were mentioning turtle medicine, I immediately picked up on navigation was one of the words you said, and there's
yeah.
many
yeah.
ways to navigate, you
yeah.
know, and so that's, you know, you if you are navigating through and you want, you know, to share what you have to offer, you know, you do it in a way that, you know, that you can. So that,
well, that's extraordinary. You're so, because you're right. Navigation and communication are almost similar. They're two different words that express the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and you know, there's, and it's fun too, because there's like that coyote medicine or clever medicine where, you know,
yes,
you, there's, you know, it's like, you know, you play your rattle music and it's just like, here, we're just going to listen to some nice music and, you know, and it's a way of bringing in that energy.
Yeah, exactly.
So. That's hot. That's hot. I love when something new happens on the show. You know what I mean? Or I learn something new, and you know, I just love it. I love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very passionate about my Thursday night playtimes. I have play dates every Thursday night. But and part of it too is, I mean, last week not coming on the show by choice. It's like, you know, I mean, and I played a replay, but I really was like, when I had to basically hold the phone, you know, to play the replay, and as I felt better as the 2 hours were going along, it was like, oh, I should just cancel and get on right now. And it's like, no, Goldie, don't get fickle. You know, in other words, you chose not to come on. You've got a great replay playing. It's going to go 2 hours. You got to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed, you know, that I missed being on the air. It's like, this is my playtime.
Yeah.
You know, with extraordinary beings that, you know, if somebody was here taking pictures, I would almost say if they went to any one of our homes, including you, 817, mm-hmm. and they took pictures of our area, you know, or the rooms we're in, mm-hmm. orbs would definitely be here, or some sort of, you know, interdimensional experiences would show up while we're doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because can you not? I can feel it. I can feel it in the tingling. I can feel it in the telepathic experiences, in the wisdom that's coming out, in the genuine caring and listening to each other, and taking the time and the space to comfort and say, you know, just nurture each other. You know, I love the nurturing. Oh, I scared 817 off. She just hung up.
Oh.
I'm sure something. Oh, she's back. All right, 817, I thought I scared you off. But, you know, there's just, this is, you know, one of the things I'm getting right now is, like what we were saying earlier, the importance of being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about doing, and there's nothing wrong with talking about doing, but it's emphasized first in our being.
Yeah.
And that's what makes what we're doing so spectacular, even though it's not like, you know, the New York Times isn't, you know, around shedding spotlights on us. But, boy, the interdimensional Times, I bet you are, because they do come to us when we're being, you know, in a healthy, balanced way.
The doing seems to be initiated or inspired by just allowing, you know, this process, because from this process so much has been sparked and surprised me what came up, and I love that, because this was not a preconceived, you know, we allowed something, and and I can feel it too, that there's things forging out of our conversations that
creativity. It's all creativity, because none of it was planned.
No, and that's the best way. And you know, I'm sitting in right in front of me is this about the 6-foot painting of Lily standing in the water within the magic gown next to the blue swan, and the eighth door is in this painting, and it's the main painting of the new story called The Return of the Colorful Wind. And in the sky are all these swirling colors and orbs. And so I said, oh no, how does she know that? You know,
Janine, I love you, girlfriend. I don't know how I know, but I love that you acknowledge that somehow I know, because I don't even know I'm knowing.
And when I painted it, I was like, what? What are these doing here? So it wasn't even like, oh, I think I'll paint orbs. They just painted like off my brush, you know. And
wow.
So they're in the sky and they're showing up, and it's just literally the return of the colorful wind. So that's so funny. I was just like, what? Jeez, orbs? They're right here.
Wow. Well, and it's so, because I can sense it. I don't know how to explain it. I can, but like I said, but it's all of us too. It's not just Janine. I mean,
oh,
Susan,
no.
You
it's
too, and 817.
Yeah.
We are all because I believe it's a consciousness that brings us to the show.
Yeah.
That is, you know, just deeper than maybe the average show that's just looking to sell products. You know, I'm not
right.
looking to sell products. Or if I am, I'm looking to sell self-awareness, you know.
Yeah.
The best
yeah,
part is it's free and it will take a lifetime to experience. You know, something like that. I'm not quite sure how to sell self-awareness. but you know, it's like that consciousness
yeah.
that truly, I don't want to call it devotion because that's not what it feels. I mean, I don't know. I just know it's magical. See, it's again brings us right back to that forest energy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Where it just shows up and you can feel it, you know it, and there's confirmation,
mm-hmm.
and yet you can't wrap your hands around it. You can't bottle it and sell it. It
but
just
it's
is.
There.
Exactly.
And we highly recommend it.
That's
and
right.
And we highly recommend it, exactly.
But we can't find it for you.
Heavily, you know, as much as you can take. In high doses.
That's really good.
Yeah, that, exactly.
That's fun.
Oh, so much fun. So much fun. Suzanne, you rocked it tonight, girlfriend.
Oh,
yeah, thanks.
I'm so glad you were here. Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely.
What a
yeah.
nice what nice company.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Thanks. It was really great to talk yeah. to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Suzanne has shown up on a few of my shows, and I'm like, I intuitively know we need more input to make a well balanced show. You know, it's like, you know, again, the flavoring. You know, it's like
yeah.
okay, a pinch of salt, a pinch of sage.
Yeah.
You know, and a pinch of paprika,
ooh, can
whatever
I be the
it
sage?
Is. You can
well,
be the
I love interaction. What about sage?
I want to
be the sage. She wants to be the sage.
Oh.
I'll be Rosemary, you be thyme. At 817, you can sing in harmony.
I guess that's the parsley, right?
That's
parsley.
Yes, we are. What is that? We are stone soup here today, my friends, or shell soup. We are shell soup.
Yeah, that's fun. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Wow, that was incredible. I have to do another talent show, too. I did a talent show a few weeks back. Stephanie,
oh,
Stephanie came on my talent show. Yeah. And it was my
wow.
way of coming out of my opening of starting to do tarot card readings on the air because
oh, okay.
I was very frightened to do them. And I mean, not with in person, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do them on the air. And so I was like, this way I don't have to just do them myself. You know, I can have Stephanie came over and drummed. Tanya did some chanting. But I'm going to do another one of those because several people showed up on Facebook and said, oh, when you do another one, you know, I want to read poetry and, you know, you could sing, you know, because that's,
ooh.
You know, I like having a safe space, you know, to help people definitely,
yeah.
like, you know, what we're doing, especially there's power from doing it on the air that, you know, who
oh,
knows
yeah.
somebody, you don't know where it can go. The simple fact is it's just all of a sudden on the ether. It's
yeah.
archived, you know.
That's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I wonder how singing
fun.
Would sound over this, though. How would singing
oh, you
go?
Just sounded beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah, you sounded good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, huh, I'm singing, girlfriend.
Okay. I will let you know when we do it. I'm already booked in December, so we'll probably do it January or February. But,
right.
but we'll get
I'd
you
love
off,
the time
definitely.
To practice.
You know, I'm just hoping Fart Man doesn't show up.
Is there such a person?
Well, you know, like somebody wanting to, you know, I don't know,
share
something that might be, yeah, that might be a little kooky bird. But again, you know, you just got to be open to, you know, whatever shows up. Everybody's talents must be acknowledged. Janine, is that such a person? Didn't Howard Stern create him? I think he's an alter ego of Howard Stern.
Possible.
And listen, if Howard Stern wants to show up and do Fart Man, Howard Stern is able to show. I will step aside. Let him bring his 6 million people audience to Little Goldie's show.
I have singing in the Magic Gown, and Lily sings a song, and Joseph sings a song.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
No, wait, who was Joseph again? Who was Joseph?
Joseph is the blue elephant.
Oh, right, because I was like, wait a minute, I remember him being a very deep character, yeah.
He's the sixth door, which is, you know, the sixth chakra.
Right. Oh, singing,
yeah.
Of course.
Singing.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
So before we get off, do you have we have 5 minutes, and I just want to make sure we get this in before we go off. Do you have any place you're coming up? You know, places where people can. Your book is on the page. If you want to order the book, you just go right to the page, and it'll take you to Amazon. But do you have any book signings? Oh, by the way, you're both in Jersey. You know,
that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when you connect on Facebook, you guys might be, you know, you literally might be around the corner. I don't know.
Is that you with the light on across the street?
Is that you jumping up and down in the window with your rattles?
On Saturday, I will be at the Whole Foods in Middletown, New Jersey, from like 11 to 2, doing a book signing. And, and then on December 18th, I'll be in Baltimore at a Borders.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Yeah. Other than that, that's the only two things coming up, you know, soon.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And so do you have plans for the holidays? Are you going to be doing something magical for the holidays?
I'm just going to be here. My son comes in from L.A., and my other son, who's an incredible musician, he has a band, and he has a studio in Newark. He'll be here, too, and I'll just have a nice, quiet Christmas and, you know, be together, and that's really what they love
that's
to
a,
do.
That's, yeah. And that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Namaste. Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
What about you, Suzanne? Do you have plans for
Not swimming with dolphins in Bimini with my daughter, I'll just have a quiet Christmas at home. But I don't know yet what's going to happen and what.
Well, and because think about it, we're just with the meditation.
With the cove and the dolphins.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, not just the cove. It was, you know, the mystery and the treasure. I'm sorry, I cannot memorize.
No, that's okay. The shell of great fortune and mysterious ways. So.
I mean, Suzanne, that could be huge.
It could be.
You know, of course, my poor audience doesn't recognize. Even Janine doesn't get. I have all these, you know, kind of like behind the scenes because, you know, these people are all my friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're creating and manifesting and intending off the air. And then when we come on the air, it's showing up. So I apologize if there's things
I'm
saying
that feel.
That's
beautiful.
I mean, I'm apologizing to the audience.
Oh.
If things sound cryptic, it's because I don't know what to share from off air, so I just, you know, keep things kind of generic. And
Yeah, that's okay. Well, bottom line is I don't really know what I'm doing for Christmas yet, and whatever it is going to be spectacular, I'm sure.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Even if it's staying home and doing not a darn thing.
Yeah.
Hey, there's
nice
blessings
too.
To be said about that, indeed, because I'll probably be alone, so, you know. Feel free
we'll
to
talk.
Send me magic. Yeah, well, and you know what? Not lonely, though, because I'll spend all day at my magical new spot, and I have my Dakini and plenty of movies on the DVR and friends who will talk to me on the telephone. So it's
absolutely.
All beautiful.
And you'll have your new shell necklace.
And indeed. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you make the little hole in the necklace without cracking the shell? Is there
I might not do that. I think that I would maybe consider a glue gun. You know,
just tape it in the back. Okay, or glue it in the back.
A little bit with, you know, maybe even a little, you know, with something pretty like a you know, they sell things actually to make jewelry, but I wouldn't make a hole in it. I would use like a glue gun.
Hey,
okay,
Goldie, Michelle will tell you.
Michelle will tell you.
Indeed. Yes, Dad, I'm talking to shells now.
No, oh, come
so
on.
He's true. He at least honestly said, not only do I talk to animals, he's finally said, do they talk back? And I'm like, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, for a retired engineer, this is a big step.
Great.
All right, we are at the top of the second hour. I love you both. You're
thank
just
you
fantastic
so
beings. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Awesome.
Bye.
I just want to make one. I'm going to just make one quick announcement. Is I'm normally doing tarot card readings on third Thursday, but you know, Goldie doesn't do anything linearly. So now this month, the third Thursday is going to be a new guest called Rashmi Kilnamni. It's an Indian woman who we're going to talk about the divine goddess. And then I decided for the Christmas show. On December 23rd, we're going to do tarot card readings. So I thought it was a great present to give everybody, you know, do some free readings.
Aww.
So I love you all. You're amazing. Aww. The guest, 817, I love you tremendously. I will speak to everybody on Facebook probably within 10 minutes and have an amazing week. I will
talk
to everybody
soon. Thank you so
much.
Bye, Sue.
Oh, my
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Love you all. Take care. Bye.